Have you ever been to Idaho Shakespeare Festival? I would actually be really curious to know what the yes-no split is on that one. But Idaho Shakespeare Fest 2024 season kicks off in about 1 month on Friday, May 24th. Idaho Shakespeare Fest is just like a true Boise thing. It's been going on for almost 50 years. And our writer, Julie Sarasqueta, wrote this super fun story about some of the elements that make Idaho Shakespeare Fest so special. So obviously this story was written by Julie. It's being read by me, Marissa. You can see some photos that go along with today's story in the newsletter. That's either in your inbox or at fromboise.com. All right, let's get into it. Again, reminder, this story was written by Julie. So when she says like me or I, that's Julie talking. It's just me reading. All right, here is Idaho Shakespeare Festival by Julie Sarasqueta. Trying to explain the Idaho Shakespeare Festival to out-of-towners is frankly impossible. Sure, it's a theater that puts on the works of the greatest English language playwright, along with hundreds of other plays and musicals. And yes, it's outside in a uniquely Idaho setting, but that doesn't get to the heart of it either. Even Boiseans who have never floated the river or hiked Table Rock have made it out to the festival's Barber Valley Amphitheater. So, in an attempt to explain why this nearly 50-year-old festival is an inseparable part of the Boise experience, I've gone on a treasure hunt for a few of the places, things, and people that shepherd it from its DIY roots to its multi-city present and future. Let's start the show. First, the lawn outside One Capital Center. Back in 1977, the two-year-old One Capital Center, which now houses offices and kin, was the tallest building in Boise and in Idaho. But its main advantage to Doug Copsey, a Boise High graduate and young actor, was the amphitheater-like grassy area just outside the building. Copsey was keen to bring professional theater to the City of Trees, and why not? Boise State was home to a group of talented young actors, set designers, costume designers, directors, and more. But if they wanted to make a living after college, they'd either have to quit acting or move to a big city. So why not build a professional theater company here? Copsey and his fellow theater lovers had a lot of enthusiasm and more than a few obstacles. They couldn't afford to pay the rights to Hair, the uber-popular musical that was their first choice for a production. They had zero cash to rent a theater. All they could count on, really, was $1,000 from Copsey's own pocket and imagination. But where the owners of One Capital Center saw a landscaping feature, Copsey saw a stage. Doug and Arthur Skip Oppenheimer, the developers behind the building, agreed to let Boise's newest theater company produce their first show on the lawn. Doug Oppenheimer came through with a loan of $3,500, and Copsey and crew sourced a free play from public domain, Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. By the end of the run, 3,500 people had flocked to the lawn, a tradition echoed in the hillside seating at Idaho Shakespeare Fest's current home on Warm Springs Avenue. Although they didn't have a name yet, the Idaho Shakespeare Festival was born. Park Center Boulevard. For many years, the story of the Idaho Shakespeare Festival was one of searching. After leaving One Capital Center, the company found a new home at what is now the River Club Golf Course, but only for a few years. By the spring of 1984, the organization, now known as Idaho Shakespeare Festival, had lost its lease. Luckily, the group was saved by the power of potatoes, not joking. Orida Foods, the purveyors of famous frozen potatoes, was part of a trio of corporate headquarters located on Park Center Boulevard that leased Idaho Shakespeare Fest bare ground in a parking lot for $1 a year. Mark Hoffland, Idaho Shakespeare Fest's longtime managing director, calls it, quote, the best $14 investment we ever made. There's a reason the festival has never had an indoor space. For Hoffland, it's a continuation of how the original viewers of Shakespeare's plays would have experienced theater. He said, quote, a lot of these plays are meant to be done in daylight, with reference to the places that you have to form in your imagination, he says. Well, if you're outside and you're looking at nature, you're glorying and reveling in the world around you, the physical world of outside. You're not in a Renaissance dark little space lit by lights, as the theater became hundreds of years later. It somehow connects you to nature in a much more immediate way, end quote. That connection to nature would become a defining part of the Idaho Shakespeare Festival experience. Wood ducks and raccoons and deer and foxes. And when Hofland became the managing director over 30 years ago, he assumed Idaho Shakespeare Festival would need to build an indoor theater. Artistic director Charlie Fee quickly disabused him of that notion. Charlie said, quote, "When you get here, you'll understand how this audience has been built," Hofland said. "It's been built to be outside. It's all about having a picnic under the stars, frankly, under the sun, until the tomb scene in Romeo and Juliet," end quote. Finding a permanent home to take the place of the Park Center location required a migraine-inducing amount of searching and planning. The place had to be outdoors and in a beautiful setting. Those factors were non-negotiable. Hofland says the Idaho Shakespeare Fest looked at 40 outdoor locations as far west as Eagle and as far east as their now beloved home in the Barber Valley. At the time, the site on Warm Springs Avenue was far from the crowd, with just Harris Ranch, like the actual ranch, not the housing development, the Golden Dawn Mobile House Park, and the much-mourned Ben's Crow Inn. The Idaho Foundation for Parks and Lands invited Idaho Shakespeare Fest to use the land in a partnership, along with the Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation, which continues to this day. A few years ago, Parks and Lands and the festival joined forces to raise $2 million to purchase 12 acres and head off a 43-home residential subdivision that would have crept much too close to comfort for Idaho Shakespeare Fest. That space is now the Gateway Reserve. It once held wastewater lagoons, but now it's home to native plants and thousands of birds, including wood ducks and raccoons and deer and foxes. Eventually, biking and walking paths will crisscross the area too. In the meantime, though, you have a great chance of seeing the interplay between wildlife and the festival on stage, where birds have been known to land during performance and skunks have tottered down the aisle while audiences cross their fingers. Danny Peterson's Converse sneakers. You might know Danny Peterson's name from the theater at the Morrison Center, or maybe you saw him in one of the 26 seasons he played the porter in Idaho Shakespeare's production of Macbeth, or perhaps you were a kid who saw him on a touring Idaho theater for youth play. It seems everyone who knew Danny Peterson loved him, which is why the theater community and audiences alike were gutted by his unexpected and untimely death at age 55 in 2008. A pair of his Converse sneakers still hangs backstage at the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. And actors touch the shoes for luck before every performance. Sarah Bruner, a veteran of the festival and the next producing artistic director, more about that transition in a minute, says the tradition speaks to the tight-knit nature of the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. She said, quote, "I think that we have those superstitions that are just about the touch, the acknowledgement. And in some ways, I think it's less about superstition and more about the acknowledgement of the long line of artists that you're in, and that you get to be a part of that continuum, and that this is your moment on the continuum," end quote. She also said, if you're lucky, you'd be the kind of person whose shoes got hung above the door in the green room, end quote. Paper crowns. Kids don't need fancy costumes or grand sets to bring theater to life. All they need is a paper crown and some imagination. Thousands of kids have proved that over the years at the summer camps produced by the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. Kids as young as 3 can learn the bards' plays at these popular summer programs. In fact, a child can be involved in Idaho Shakespeare Fest camp from preschool all the way through high school graduation. The goal is to make Shakespeare accessible, fun, and a lifelong passion, whether kids continue in theater or not. The pinnacle of the summer camp experience is the 10-week apprentice program, which lets high school students take a deep dive into acting, even working backstage during season productions. Think of it like a farm team for drama kids. Camps take place at the School of Theater building on 8th Street, and they fill up fast, so be sure to get those applications in. This episode of From Boise is sponsored by Tavolata Boise. Tavolata is one of my new favorite restaurants. Pasta is pretty much the heart and soul of Tavolata, which is pretty much the way to my heart and soul. Every single pasta dish on the menu is made fresh every single day, and you can definitely tell. But it's not just the pasta that knocks my socks off. They also have amazing appetizers and delicious drinks, plus they have a killer happy hour with specials on pasta, apps, and drinks. Seriously, you cannot go wrong here. For all my fellow pasta lovers out there, you should definitely sign up for Tavolata's newsletter. It's an email that will alert you when they're doing specials, discounts, whenever they host events and holiday dinners, and more. Let's be real. Who doesn't love a deal, especially when it involves pasta? Also, if you have a celebration or a special event coming up, Tavolata has two private dining rooms that can hold 12 to 60 people. Tavolata's menu is made for gathering over a meal with friends and family. I mean, the word Tavolata literally means table. This is such a great option for hosting an event, big or small. Don't wait to check out Tavolata. It is seriously so good. You will love it. I recommend getting a reservation if you want to do dining room seating, or it's first come, first served at the bar and on the patio. You can find more information at the link in the show notes. Box dinners. Every Idaho Shakespeare Fest performance is a chance for a picnic. The festival has always allowed folks to bring their own food and beverages in, and the sounds of wine tinkling into plastic glasses and the picnic boxes being unpacked blend in with the voices of the actors on stage. This year, Lisa Peterson of Tavola, who long had a presence at the festival, will return to Shakespeare's Marketplace. Idaho Shakespeare Fest is calling it a grab-and-go extravaganza, where you can fill up your picnic basket from a selection of well-stocked goodies. Those wooden folding chairs. They're simple, they're free to rent, and they have single-handedly saved the backs of thousands of festival goers. That's all. The audience. 47 years ago, the idea of a professional theater company with an annual attendance of more than 75,000 people was more a fantastical than even a Midsummer Night's Dream. But the audience, Brenner says, is what makes Idaho Shakespeare Fest special. She said, quote, "The connection that our theater has to the community is completely unparalleled compared to what I've seen in other places, and that's meaningful on a lot of levels. It's meaningful because it's a theater, and theaters don't normally resonate in a community. Usually people are all about sports or all about, you know, X, Y, and Z, and they're wild about the Shakespeare Festival. It's totally unheard of," end quote. Sarah Brunner. When Brunner was growing up in Burley, Idaho, the festival's traveling company visited her school. It was her first exposure to both professional theater and Shakespeare, and that was that. She was hooked. She said, quote, "What did it for me was that it opened up a world of possibility and an understanding of what could be, and presented it to me in a way and in a space that I couldn't have delivered otherwise. I mean, I was just going about life in school, and then one day these actors showed up and told the story, and for me, it was really... it was about theater, but it was also just about possibility and potential and having exposure to something that I hadn't had before," she said, end quote. She attended Boise State University and took classes from Charlie Fee, the festival's current artistic director and the person that she will take the reins from at the end of the 2025-2026 season when Fee retires. Thanks to a unique Tri-City Alliance, she will also become the artistic director for the Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival and Great Lakes Theater in Cleveland. The three groups develop and rotate productions, so Brunner spends summer in Boise and Tahoe and the winter and spring in Cleveland. The alliance alleviates costs for all three nonprofit companies. She said, quote, "I have wanted a job like this for a very long time, and I didn't dare to dream that big," she said, end quote. But Fee believed in her, she says, and she's been learning the intricacies of helming three companies, something that really isn't done from Fee himself. "It's really exciting and it's really humbling," she says. "I'm excited about it. Being a leader is hard and it's messy, but I'm ready. I'm happy to be the person who has the reins and to try to do good and do no harm. That's the goal. Just leave it better than you found it," end quote. The Idaho Shakespeare Festival kicks off with the Merry Wives of Windsor on May 24th. You can find a full schedule and tickets on the festival's website, which I have linked for you in the show notes. Again, you can find this story along with photos and links to everything in today's newsletter. That is in your inbox or at fromboise.com. This story was written by Julie Sarasqueta. All right, thanks for listening.